Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 4. Is the Bible relevant for today? The abiding principles for this session. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Introduction to Session 4. Is the Bible relevant for today? At the outset of this study, I want to be very vulnerable, and I hope you won't judge me too harshly for what I'm about to share. I grew up around the Bible and would have told you that it was very important to me. However, I'd never read it for myself, at least not all the way through. That may not be surprising at face value, yet when you consider that I'd grown up in a missionary home, read books like a bookworm, had been saved, baptized, and answered a call to the gospel ministry in my early teens, I wish I could tell you otherwise. My problem? I just couldn't get into it. I would start at Genesis, and by Leviticus, I was totally bored. I just had no idea why all of that information was relevant to me. I felt guilty and ashamed that I had let the Lord down, but I just couldn't stay with it. I went to church and listened to the pastor preach. I went to Sunday school and listened intently to my teachers, and my mom and dad were faithful to read the Bible to us in family devotions. But still, I'd not read the Bible for myself. I would sometimes read an occasional passage or memorize a section when required, but I just couldn't seem to get into a routine of regularly and consistently studying the Scriptures. I'd already entered the ministry full-time as a music and youth director when something happened that changed my life. Some missionaries visited our church. They challenged my heart to begin a consistent Bible reading routine and provided for me a Bible reading guide to read through the Bible in 90 days. I took them up on their challenge and tried their Bible reading guide. For the first time, I was intrigued by the routine, and the variety of scriptures kept my attention. It seemed like I was getting a panoramic view of the scriptures, and some of those difficult passages started fitting in with the rest of God's message. I didn't complete the Bible in 90 days. I probably never will read that fast. Nevertheless, I stuck with the idea and worked with it until I could find a schedule that worked for me. I did complete the entire Bible for the first time in about a year. Now, some 26 years later, I'm still using a similar routine, though moving more slowly, probably reading through every 2 years. It doesn't really matter to me how quickly I go. I enjoy reading the Bible and try to consider God's message to me and how it applies to my life. The more I read through the Bible, the better those difficult passages make sense. Even so, I'm willing to admit that there are still passages of Scripture I can't understand. But I will tell you this, every day that I read the Bible, I find something, without fail, that speaks to my life or my challenges. It works. I hope this session will answer many questions you have about the Bible. Questions like, where did the Bible come from? Why are there so many English translations? How do I understand the Bible better? Is the Bible trustworthy? Viewpoints vary, even among sincere Christian scholars, and it is not my intent to discuss all viewpoints in this session. Your questions are very important, though, so I'll try my best to share my understanding of these topics and where my faith has led me. Your facilitator may add his or her ideas alongside mine. Most importantly, I hope this session will inspire you to value the Bible above any other source of information and bring you to a fresh realization that the Bible is God's message to you and the entire world. We are reading today from the Bible text, Psalm 19, 7 through 14. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They're more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, to discuss the Bible text. Many people have come to the conclusion that the Bible is an outdated book that no longer has relevance to a postmodern society. Is that true? Does the Bible still have a message for today? Is the Bible God's Word? Is it worth my time to read, study, and commit the Bible to memory? Should our church still be focused on preaching the Bible? To these questions, I would say a resounding yes. But what do you believe? Does the Bible still have a message for your life? I hope this session will guide you to a belief that the Bible is relevant to your everyday life, and you'll look forward to spending time reading and pursuing its message. For me, I've found in the Bible the secrets to a happy and fulfilling life, antidotes to burnout, and empowerment to overcome the hindrances of evil. My time spent with God in the Bible is very relevant to me, and it is changing my life. May I share with you some things that have brought this understanding to my heart? Roman numeral 1. The relevance of the Bible. Capital A. The Bible could be thought of as an owner's manual for humankind. God's underlying purpose in designing humankind was to bring honor and glory to God as Creator. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For through Him, Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. The basic message of the Bible instructs how we should live our lives to accomplish this purpose. Capital B. The Bible is a fascinating record of history, which in reality is God's story. The Bible gives humankind information about the person of God and how God functions. This knowledge provides humankind the wisdom for making decisions that will accomplish our basic purpose, that of glorifying God. Acts 17, 24 through 28. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Capital C. The Bible was written to give us guidance. Reading the Bible gives us insight from God about the boundaries God has put in place. These boundaries cannot be violated without serious consequences. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Capital D. The Bible has something to say about every area of life. God has left clear instructions for humankind and how we are to live our lives each day. These clear instructions are often referred to as the revealed will of God. Knowing and obeying these instructions are the first steps toward living a life of good success. Deuteronomy 29:29. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. Capital E. Spending time in the Bible teaches us to respect God or grow in our reverential fear of God's authority. Walking in true humility before the Lord is the cornerstone of true wisdom. Psalm 111:10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. The root of all sin that we struggle with in our personal lives is a lack of respect or lack of fear before God. For further study, read Romans 1:21-32. Psalm 14:1-2. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt, and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. Learning to respect God more and learning to walk in humility before God are the secrets to breaking sin's bondage in our lives. Capital F. The Bible has a message for people of all walks of life in every generation. The Bible's message will always be relevant because of its divine authorship. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Dr. Bavinck, a Dutch theologian, shared that the whole Scripture, although it was historically wrought, is, as Augustine said, a letter sent by God out of heaven to his church on earth. St. Augustine lived from 396 to 430. He was one of our early church fathers and is a renowned theologian. His writings have greatly influenced Christianity. This illustration comes from Hermann Bavinck's Our Reasonable Faith. The Bible's message is being preserved by God. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord remains forever, and that word is the good news that was preached to you. Capital G. The message of God's word is always reliable and trustworthy. The Bible is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. The word inspired in this text literally means God breathed. Strong's Concordance defines theopneustos from theos, the supreme deity. It is a presumed derivative of pneo, a primary word, to breathe hard, i.e., breeze, thus meaning divinely breathed in. This is understood by Easton's Bible Dictionary to mean that the scriptures were divinely breathed into by God. God guided the writers of the sacred text to communicate a divine message in words able to be understood by their original audiences. This required diligent research on the part of the Bible writers. Many of the authors quote other sources throughout their writings to support their message, some extensively. God allowed the writers of the sacred text to bring their unique personalities into their written communication, yet superintended their writings to be certain that the divine message was clearly communicated. From Millard J. Erickson's Christian Theology. Erickson, crediting Augustus Hopkins Strong, labels this as the dynamic theory of inspiration. He says, "The dynamic theory emphasizes the combination of divine and human elements in the process of writing the Bible. The Spirit of God works by directing the writer to the thoughts or concepts and allowing the writer's own distinctive personality to come into play in the choice of words and expressions. Thus, the writer will give expression to the divinely directed thoughts in a way uniquely characteristic of that person." While identifying closely with this theory, I want to make clear that I believe direct quotes from God were preserved word for word and thus were verbally inspired. Throughout the years, translators have diligently worked to transmit God's original message to audiences in other language and cultural settings. The original wording, as heard within the cultural setting of the primary audience of the scripture, doesn't usually transfer rigidly to another time, language, and entirely different cultural setting. From Klein, Bloomberg, and Hubbard's Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. Therefore, all translation work involves diligent effort to extract the message and present it in a meaningful way to a different audience. Simply put, translation requires the work of interpretation. From Boving's Our Reasonable Faith. In Dr. Boving's words, "Every translation, after all, is really a kind of interpretation. Some meaning may be lost in this interpretive work of translation, so it's wise to consult various Bible translations to get a better understanding of the full meaning of Scripture passages. The more modern translations will often alert you to these types of interpretive issues." The Parallel feature of BibleHub.com is an excellent and free resource you can use to easily compare translations. This message of God's Word is inerrant and infallible. Erickson wrote, "The Bible is a sure source of guidance, for when correctly interpreted, it can be fully relied on in all it teaches. It is a sure, dependable, and trustworthy authority." From Erickson's Christian Theology, page 265. The Church of the Brethren released a similar statement in 1979. "We affirm the Bible, rightly interpreted, is a fully trustworthy guide for our lives. In this sense, we reaffirm our historic understanding of Scripture as an infallible rule of faith and practice. We are not yet fully agreed on whether trustworthy means inerrant. Some of us believe that the Bible's witness to its own authority implies that the statements of Scripture are without error of any kind, whether factual, historical, or doctrinal. Others of us believe that such a claim is contrary to the intent of the biblical writers and a denial of the true humanity of Scripture." From Biblical Inspiration and Authority, a study guide to the Church of the Brethren Annual Conference. An area of theology that has sparked a raging debate in Christian circles is that of textual criticism. At first glance, it seems that scholars are attacking the credibility of the Bible. While this may be true in some institutions, there's a legitimate purpose for such criticism or scholarly critique into the issues surrounding the text. Scholars are trying to rediscover the original wording and meaning of the ancient manuscripts. From Klein, Bloomberg, and Hubbard's Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. From Randolph W. Tate's Biblical Interpretation. There are some 5,746 ancient Greek manuscripts, partial or complete, of the New Testament that have been carefully compared. According to the official register kept by the Institute for New Testament Textual Research in Münster, Germany, as of May 2006. These contain some 300,000 variants that have been carefully cataloged, but most of these variants are insignificant. The more significant textual variants explain some of the differences between the English translations that we have. For instance, some translations don't contain Mark 16:9-20 or 1 John 5:7. Variants in manuscripts are likely the result of the ancient and tedious process of hand copying and the passing down of information from century to century with archaic methods. From Klein, Bloomberg, and Hubbard's Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. There may have been honest mistakes made by the humans who hand copied the scriptures. There also may have been editorial work, known as glosses, that intentionally or unintentionally became part of a manuscript. There are no original autographs available to scholars in order to decisively settle these debates. Even so, there's more abundant and accurate evidence for the New Testament than for any other book from the ancient world. From Norman L. Geisler's Christian Apologetics. What is important to understand about these variants is that the message of God's Word is clearly communicated and preserved. No variant between the manuscripts undermines the validity and reliability of God's message to us. Where there's a significant variant, and thus a scholarly debate on how that text should read, that same truth is clearly communicated elsewhere without textual variants, and thus is void of textual criticism. No doctrine of Christianity rests solely on textually disputed passages. From Klein, Bloomberg, and Hubbard's Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. Readers of English translations of the New Testament need not wonder if textual variants lurking behind every verse they read would drastically change the meaning of the passage. Good editions of the various modern translations contain footnotes to alert readers to most of the significant textual variants. Also from the book Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. It is clear that God would not have us worship the exact wording of the text, nor should we idolize a certain translation of the Scriptures. Rather, we are to worship God and humbly try to follow God's message in the pages of the Bible. The message of the Bible is reliable because of its miraculous formation. God inspired some 40 authors from all walks of life, spanning almost 1,600 years in the Bible's formation. Yet the message of the Bible has an incredible unity and centrality. The canonicity of the Bible, or the way the canon of Scripture was formed, also lends credibility to the reliability of the message of God's Word. The word canon, as applied to the Bible, refers to the collection of biblical books that Christians accept as uniquely authoritative. From the book Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. Two prominent Jewish scholars, David Kimchi, 1160-1232, and Elias Levita, 1465-1549, passed down as Jewish tradition that Ezra and the members of the Great Synagogue completed the final collection and organization of the Old Testament canon during the 5th century before Christ. From Henry Clarence Thiessen's Lectures in Systematic Theology. The secular historian Josephus indicated that the Old Testament canon was completed during the reign of Artaxerxes, which would correspond to the lifetime of Ezra. We also know that Ezra would have had access to an impressive library that would have aided in his scholarly work. Witness of Scripture also supports Ezra's educational ability to organize the sacred books of the Old Testament. Nehemiah 8:1-12:36, Ezra 7:6-11. While acknowledging their historical value, the Apocrypha books have not been accepted by most Protestants into the canon of the Old Testament. From Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. At the time of Christ, the Jews only accepted the 39 books of the Old Testament that we recognize today. This was because of a widespread Jewish belief, well documented in rabbinic literature and by historian Josephus, that divinely inspired writings ceased after the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and the latest of the minor prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. From Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. The Apocrypha books date from the intertestamental period after Malachi and before the New Testament. Thus, they were not accepted as inspired by God. Further, the New Testament authors never quote these works directly as they do the rest of the Old Testament. From Introduction to Biblical Interpretation. The New Testament canon was shaped as a result of the obvious genuine character of the books. Each book was tested by the early church according to the following five principles. From Thiessen's Lectures in Systematic Theology. Apostolicity was of primary importance. The human author either had to be an apostle of Christ or had to sustain such a relationship to an apostle as to raise his book to the level of the apostolic books. The book had to be suitable for public reading. The book had to have universal reception throughout the early Christian community and church. The contents and message of the book had to be of certain spiritual character. The book had to bear abundant evidence of having been inspired by the Holy Spirit. From Thiessen's Lectures in Systematic Theology. Roman numeral 2. The reach of the Bible. Capital A. The Bible has a message of salvation for all of humankind lost in their sin. The perfection of God's law proves the sinful condition of all human beings. Galatians 3:22. But the Scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. A realization of our sin should cause us to turn to Christ Jesus for salvation. Galatians 3:24 and 25. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. Only Jesus can revive the soul and bring true salvation. Capital B. The Bible supplies us for the Christian life. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 24:3 and 4. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. The Bible imparts wisdom to help us see life from God's perspective. The Bible imparts good sense. Good sense helps us to respond to life with insight, reacting as God would have us react. This will cause abiding joy in our lives. The Bible imparts knowledge. Capital C. The Bible provides safety for us as believers. The Bible cautions us that we must give a full account of our lives to God. 2 Corinthians 5:9 and 10. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. In this, we see a warning for the disobedient. We also see a reward for the obedient. The Bible reveals sin in our lives so that we can seek forgiveness and a different way to live in Christ. The Bible can help us to overcome bad habits and break the chains of addictions. Psalm 9:12 through 14. Roman numeral 3. The way to research our Bibles. Capital A. We should pursue a relationship with God by spending time reading the Scriptures on a daily basis. A suggested Bible reading guide is provided at the end of this session, in the e-book or book in print. Capital B. Scripture passages that stand out to us should be studied carefully. Take time to pray before studying the Scriptures. Invite the Holy Spirit to be your guide and teacher in proper understanding. Take the time to read each passage of Scripture in its literary context of the surrounding Scriptures. Be careful of proof texting, meaning that you shouldn't isolate a Scripture out of its contextual relevance. Compare Scripture with Scripture before forming an opinion. Theology should not be formed solely upon one passage of Scripture, but rather should be thought through in unity with the entire witness of Scripture. Discuss difficult passages within the community of faith. Listen deeply and allow the collective wisdom of other believers to speak into your understanding. In Anabaptist terminology, this is called congregational hermeneutics. For more reading, I suggest Biblical Interpretation in the Anabaptist Tradition by Stuart Murray. Reflect on the historical, social, and cultural settings of the primary audience who first received the passage. From Michael J. Gorman's Elements of Biblical Exegesis. Why was this passage of Scripture written? What is the primary message God communicated? What message from God transcends the primary audience and is relevant to us today? Consult with commentaries and Bible dictionaries for a better grasp on how the church has traditionally understood the passage. A recent edition of a study Bible, the Bible Hub Online, and Bible Gateway Online are just a few sources that are readily available. Caution: every source online is not helpful in understanding the Scripture. Notice the author, publisher, and date of the scholarship. Read broadly before forming an opinion. Don't forget to discuss these ideas with others in your community of faith, especially your pastor and Bible study leaders. Tap into the wisdom of other believers. Ask yourself some questions as you analyze the passage. How does my personal experience of God inform my understanding of this passage? Are there intellectual discoveries that should inform my understanding and application of this passage? Capital C. We should take time to meditate upon and share the selections of Scripture that are particularly helpful in our faith journey. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. In conclusion, so let me come back to my original question. Is the Bible relevant for today? I sure believe so, and answer with a resounding yes. How about you? Consider your life for a moment. What priority have you placed on the Word of God? If the Bible is to be relevant to your life, you must choose to pursue it. You must read, study, and put into practice its message. Also, don't get bogged down by passages you don't understand. Study difficult passages as the Holy Spirit leads, but continue to move forward in your reading. You'll get greater clarity on difficult passages as you grow in your understanding of the Bible. I encourage you to read a portion of God's Word each day and read until you get a blessing. You may be surprised at just how much you truly understand as the Holy Spirit illumines God's message to your heart. The suggested reading guide found at the end of this session in our ebook or book in print is a great place to start. I truly hope you'll give it a try. Nonetheless, find a routine or pattern that works for you, something that will keep you challenged, and stay with it. May God bless the Word of God to your heart and life. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. 1. Please describe your interactions with the Bible before studying A Journey of Faith. What relevance and importance has the Bible had in your life? Will anything change after this session? 2. In your own words, describe what you believe the Bible means when it says that it has been inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 3. What do you think is more important, the words or the message of the Bible? Please explain your answer. 4. Pastors and religious leaders are still writing books today. Please discuss and explain the difference between their writings and the Apostle Paul's writings preserved in the Bible. 5. Let's practice using the ideas given under the way to research our Bibles. Point 3. Please discuss the relevant message God has for us today from 2 Corinthians 13:12. Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you'll get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you're not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.